Holiday Spirit today, we have a very special guest on our show. Someone who has even contributed a chapter to our book, Be the Star You Are, Millennials to Boomers, Celebrating Gifts of Positive Voices in a Changing Digital World. That person is Karen Kitchell, who will be sharing with us her experiences with finding family and caring for others. Karen is passionate about helping those in need. As president of the Cheerful Givers nonprofit organization, she helped to bring birthday gifts to more than 1 million less fortunate children. Karen writes a monthly post in the Be the Star You Are newsletter. Prior to that, she created a corporate university at BI Worldwide. Currently, she serves meals to the homeless, is a job coach, teacher, writer, mentor, and mom to two wonderful kids. You can find out more about her and her work at www.scatteringkindness.com. To start off, Karen, would you like to read your chapter, The Gift of Adoption?
I would love to. So here it goes, The Gift of Adoption. At a business meeting many years ago, everyone was given a notepad that said, make a dream come true. At that time, I thought it was a nice saying, so I kept it on my desk. I knew for a long time that I wanted to adopt a baby girl, since my adopted son brought me so much joy. I also knew the process wouldn't be easy as a single parent. My wishes seemed pretty simple. I wanted a healthy baby girl born anywhere in the world, and I wanted to name her Maria. My initial research led me to a program in Mexico, so I began to get excited thinking about how I was making my dream come true. After many months of completing paperwork and waiting, I received a phone call informing me that the Mexican program had been terminated. No explanation, the program just ceased to exist. Being determined to find my Maria, I increased my research and discovered a program in Honduras. After several months and more paperwork, I was sent a photo of an 18-month-old girl and was told she would be mine. While I was hoping for a younger child, I had a lot of faith that whoever was chosen for me would be the daughter I would cherish. A few weeks later, a letter came in the mail explaining that there was some confusion, and the child I thought was going to be mine had already been given to someone else. They didn't have any more children waiting for adoption by single parents. Although my heart and hopes were broken twice, I wouldn't give up. I discovered a new program opening in Paraguay and immediately applied to adopt a baby girl. On June 13, 1989, I received a picture of my Maria, who was born on May 22nd. In September, I was notified that the president of Paraguay had put all adoptions on hold. The rumor was that the president's daughter witnessed too many babies at the airport and told her father that it didn't look good for the country to have so many babies leaving it. Although new adoptions were halted, the program wrote that processing of papers already in progress would proceed as planned. The next 6 months of waiting for news were agonizing. While asking for further information, I made plans to travel around December 15th in order to spend Christmas in Paraguay. I decided to take my son Ryan with me so that he'd have the opportunity to experience adoption firsthand and be able to meet his sister immediately. Ryan had been adopted from Korea 5 years prior through a program that sent the babies to the United States. The Korean program was currently not open to single parents. Months earlier, the Paraguay Adoption Service had told me that an attorney would meet us at the airport to take us to a hotel where we would be staying with other adoptive families. At 2:30 a.m. on December 16th, we arrived. No one was there to meet us. After waiting more than an hour with the airport closing, we took a taxi. Traveling in the middle of the night with my 5-year-old son, while being in a foreign country, I did not speak the language, was frightening. I prayed that the taxi driver was taking us to the hotel. At 4 a.m., we arrived at the designated hotel. The front desk person, who spoke little English, showed us to a tiny room with two small beds. I asked for a crib for the baby we came to adopt. I prayed hard that night, thinking about all the people who in the last 3 years had supported this adoption, and I hoped that all these prayers would result in my dream coming true. At 8 a.m., I called the attorney and was told his assistant would bring my baby to me in 10 minutes. Ryan and I quickly dressed. There was a knock on the door, and baby Maria arrived. We were beyond thrilled. It didn't take long for me to realize this was not the hotel where other families stayed, since I was the only guest with children. Maria ate ferociously. Our evening meal every night consisted of cold ham, cheese slices, hard rolls, and orange juice. We sat at the same table for 3 meals each day for 14 days. We had to wait for our court date to make the adoption official. Finally, the day arrived. The judge said that I needed to know this was a serious responsibility, and I shouldn't be doing it just for the heck of it. I told him I understood. After 20 minutes of paper signing, it was over. It wasn't the elaborate ceremony I had expected, but I was delighted to finally know that Maria was my child. Back at the hotel, we survived on some instant soup and a couple pieces of chocolate I had saved from Christmas. It was time to take my precious children home. We arrived at the airport on December 30th for our flight back to Minneapolis, to learn that our flight had been canceled for mechanical problems. We booked the first flight out of Paraguay with stops in Sao Paulo, Miami, Atlanta, and Chicago before arriving home on New Year's Eve. As I brought home my beautiful baby Maria, the exhaustion, coupled with the numerous challenges endured, didn't dampen my joy for this most wonderful occasion. Today, 28 years later, I still have that little notepad on my desk to remind me that dreams do come true. And best of all, my two adopted millennial children are the greatest gifts a mother could want. And that is my chapter.
That was an excellent chapter. I think that was a really inspiring story, honestly, like overall on how you, if you don't give up on something and you keep trying at it, you can ultimately achieve your dream, even if it seems just like so out there, or it seems like it's going to be so much work. On like hard work and perseverance always really pays off in the end, which I think, you know, your chapter really, really showed that in a nice way. And I think that ties in with our Christmas theme and like the holiday themes for this segment in like a really nice way, because even though you were in a completely foreign country and you didn't speak the same language as anyone there and you just weren't used to it at all, you were still able to have family dinners every single night with just the same simple meal. And even though you had just gotten your daughter Maria that same day, she was already part of your family and was already reunited with you, even though, you know, you had only known her in person for a matter of minutes. And I think that that's really incredible. So I just wanted to ask you, what was the most interesting or exciting part of the adoption process overall, other than seeing Maria for the first time? Because that's probably the most exciting.
Well, yes, absolutely. It was, you know, after going through those 3 years and the three programs and getting to that point where now I'm in Paraguay, I'm in this hotel room, and I'm told that I'm going to have this baby in 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, it was the knock on the door and opening the door and actually seeing this child and having her put in my arms. I mean, I can't even explain it. And it was It's amazing how instantly we had a bond. It just really felt like, here is my daughter, and this was what my dream was meant to be.
Yeah, that's really inspiring. You've gone to like all these different countries, worked with all these different organizations, and you faced so many challenges. What motivated you to keep going through and keep persevering to finally meet your daughter in the end? Was there kind of a specific idea or hope that you had that kept your head up?
Well, I wanted a family from the very beginning. And as I mentioned, I had a son whom I had adopted from Korea, and I loved him to pieces and knew that I wanted another child. Through the process, I learned I had to be patient and, you know, to just keep plugging along. But I found that all of that waiting and worrying was worth it. And I would say, in addition to that, my values, personal values, revolve around faith and family. And so that's what really kept me going in the adoption process.
Yeah, right. I think family and faith, they're both definitely both really, really good motivations to keep going through something that you might get discouraged from after something doesn't go the right way for the first couple of times. Because after all, family is just such an important part in everyone's life that, like, family and friendships and, you know, relationships and things like that really are just good motivators for people in general. And I think that this was a really fascinating chapter. So thank you so much, Karen. And this was from the book, the Be the Star You Are, Millennials to Boomers, Celebrating Gifts of Positive Voices in a Changing Digital World, in case you want to read more chapters just like this one. But unfortunately, we're out of time.